What's doing, everybody? Welcome to episode 747 of First Class Fatherhood. I'm happy and honored, as always, to be here with you guys. Thank you for tuning in. I got a great guest to bring you today. Ken Coleman joins me on the podcast today. Ken Coleman is a Dave Ramsey personality. He's the host of The Ken Coleman Show. He has got a unique gift of helping people find their passion and what career choice they should be making. In other words, do what you were born to do. Ken Coleman has a new book dropping next week called Find the Work You're Wired to Do. He's also got an amazing program to help you narrow this down called Get Clear Career Assessment. It's a program that you can get along with the book if you pre-order it on the Dave Ramsey Solutions website. I will put the link down there in the description below. I had a chance to try it out, and I'll tell you this, the best way I could describe it is if you've ever taken the test or the quiz for the five love languages to find out what love language you speak, what love language your wife speaks or your kids, which is something that's done. The author's name is Chapman for that. I think it's a phenomenal book, phenomenal question and quiz series for you to do with your spouse and with your children. This Get Clear Career Assessment, I would say, is very similar to this, only it's to find your work language, to find your work passion. It gives you a series of questions. It takes about 15, maybe 20 minutes to fill out this entire thing. It's well worth the time, well worth the investment, because it really breaks down your unique gifts, your unique talents, and where you should be pursuing them. It gives you your clear path to what career you should be pursuing. So Ken Coleman is going to be here with me in just a few minutes to explain this all in a much better and more deeper way. So stick around for the interview. I also had another Dave Ramsey personality, Dr. John Deloney, join me here on First Class Fatherhood just a few episodes back. So if you missed out on that one, please go check it out. I got some tremendous feedback from our conversation. So go check out the interview with Dr. John Deloney. And also, too, while you're down there in the description below, if you're looking at the links, check out the link for the Alec Lace Show. It's the political podcast that I do with political issues facing parents in America today. I just recently had college swimming sensation Riley Gaines on the podcast, who's been outspoken about protecting girls in women's sports. So if you're interested in the more political stuff, go check out the Alec Lay Show. It streams live on Rumble every Tuesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm almost up to my 100th guest on that show. Been doing that podcast for almost 1 year. It'll be 2 weeks from now. It'll be a year since I launched the Alec Lay Show. So if you're interested, get over there and check it out. Right now, I got Ken Coleman joining me on the podcast. So as always, please help me spread the word about today's podcast to every father in your neighborhood or in your contact list. Let them know about the show that's here celebrating fatherhood and family life. You guys know it. Every day is Father's Day. Right here on the podcast, here comes my interview straight up with Ken Coleman on First Class Fatherhood.
First Class Fatherhood. That is where Alec Lace comes in with his popular podcast.
And one of the most interesting was on a podcast.
Alec Lace interviews high-profile fathers from actors to NFL players with a vision to change the narrative of fatherhood and family life.
Joining me now, First Class Father, Ken Coleman. Welcome to First Class Fatherhood.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. Let's start it like this. How many kids do you have? How old are they?
Yeah, three. We got an 18-year-old, we've got a 16-year-old, and a 15-year-old. Two boys at the top, and then our daughter is the youngest.
Well, I'm kind of right there with you. We got four. We have three boys that are 17, 16, and 13, and then my daughter, we got the girl at the end, so she's nine. So it took us four tries, took you three to get the girl.
That's right. That's right. It's the best, isn't it? It's fun having that mix of the two boys, and then having a daughter is so wildly different and wildly awesome. Blessed I get to have, to parent a boy and a girl, obviously.
Yeah, I think it's great for my boys to have that experience of having a sister, a young girl in the house to learn how to, hopefully it helps them learn how they want to treat women as they go. And hopefully for her, it sees how she should be treated by men. So hopefully it's a good thing all the way around. If you could, Ken, please take a second here to hit my listeners who don't know a little bit about your background and what you do.
Yeah. So I'm a coach, but I coach people in the world of work, professional purpose. So my focus is to help you grow personally so that you can advance professionally and then lead effectively. Because if you advance professionally, you will advance in the leadership. And sadly, in America, in the workforce, we just don't train leaders well. We don't prepare people well to lead across the board. And so those three aims are my focus. I believe we were created to work. And so when we can find purpose and fulfillment and meaning in our work life, the money will take care of itself. We'll make plenty of it and we'll actually enjoy it. So I coach people on the air. So that's SiriusXM podcast, YouTube, from live stages around the country as I speak at leadership and, personal growth conferences. And I'm also co-host of The Ramsey Show. It was formerly known as The Dave Ramsey Show. And now it's a two-host show. And I'm one of the co-hosts of the second largest radio show in the world. So that's also fun. And it beats working for a living. That'd be the last thing that I would say on that.
Yeah, and I'm going to get to your book, Find the Work You're Wired to Do, in just a minute here. But if you could, then obviously you're having your career is on fire. So take me back to the beginning of your fatherhood journey here. You said 18 years old, I believe. So how old were you when you first became a dad? Had that experience change your perspective on life?
Yeah, a little older. I was 32 when we brought Ty home, and we went through 7 years of infertility. And really, really a tough journey. As we look back on now, very glad we did, and we wouldn't change anything. And so we chose adoption as the way that we were going to grow our family, because we felt like that was the best option. And in some ways, medically, we were told it was the only option. And so it's 32 years of age. And we adopted Ty from Texas. He was 2 days of age when we brought him home. And 2.5 years later, brought his brother home, Chase, who was 10 days of age. And we found out that very weekend that Stacy was pregnant. And kind of a wild journey. Went from 1 to 3 kids in a 3-year span. And it was wild and crazy and incredibly intense, and trying to learn how to do all that. You know, when you got 3 babies essentially that are that close together, it's intense. And so 32 years of age is when I got the greatest honor of my life, and that's to parent these amazing humans.
What was the adoption process like, Ken, for you? Was it as smooth? Because I know sometimes you said you adopted from Texas. I know, so a lot of people adopt China or Haiti or somewhere else, because it seems like it's easier to adopt out of the country than in. What was the process like for you?
Yeah, the overall process was very difficult. My wife and I have decided to be very private about it, so I don't go into the details. But suffice it to say, it was difficult and painful at times. But as it led to get our tie, it was perfect. And so that's how I would describe that.
Yeah, well said. And I wanted to get your kind of take, because I know you got an 18-year-old. My oldest is going to be 18in a couple of weeks here. He's a senior in high school. And college is right around the corner. And it's just the thing that so many parents right now dread, I think, this decision about where to send their kids, if they should go to college, because so many kids we see coming out the other end with a massive amount of debt, no skills to get equipped themselves with a job to go pay it back. And they're begging other people to help pay off these student loans that are burying them in debt. So what's your take on this college disaster, I think, that we have in the country? And how are you playing it with your kids?
Yeah. So I'll give you 2 things here. First and foremost, I have a decision grid that I hope will help a lot of parents navigate this enormous cultural pressure that you as parents are feeling to put your kid in a great school, and then that the kids themselves are feeling. And I got to tell you, as much pressure as you're feeling, mom and dad, I believe your kid's feeling it 10x. And so here's a grid of decision-making that I think will help. You work with the information you have to the length that the kid can tell you, okay, I think this is what I want to pursue. And again, they're very, very young. My gosh, their frontal lobes are not even fully developed. But to the extent that you know a direction they want to go, you have to ask yourself and them the question, is a degree the only way to advance in this field? And then the second question is a degree the best way? So quick example, if we're talking about law or medicine, then obviously a degree, there is no other way. So it is yes, yes to both of those questions. And so if the answer is yes, yes to both those questions, then your decision has been made for you. At that point, I would be helping your kid pick the right school for them as it relates to fit, not what they dream of. And fit is financial and culture. And at that point, you know, help your kid understand nobody cares where you went to school. A customer never cares. You know, even medical patients, they don't care. They just want to know, is their doctor legitimate? If the answer is no to is it the only way and the best way, then great news. You've got certification programs. You've got trade schools. You've got coding schools, technology schools. There's a whole lot more ways now to get qualified that don't take the time or the money as college. So that would be the logistics and the money angle, which, as you said so well, does end up putting so many people behind the financial eight ball if they don't think these things through. But I do want to address the emotional, because this is a dad, this is a fatherhood podcast. And one of the things I'm trying to navigate is that all those things can be true. And yet the cultural pressure is so real on these kids. And we as parents can do our best to navigate, as I just laid out, how to navigate the conversation with your kid. But it could also be true that your kid hears all that and says, but everybody else in my class is going off to this school. And if I go do this, I feel less than. And I think as parents, there comes a point where we have to look into the heart of our kid. We got to look into their eyes, look down into their heart, and realize, what does a win look like for them? And I think we got to be careful not to parent from principles all of the time. We can't forget that our kids are people. And so this stuff is messy, and there's this big cultural matrix we're dealing with on this issue. So if your kid has to get a small amount of student loans, and I know I'm the Ramsey guy, I don't like it. I don't want it for them. But there's a lot of people, including me, who paid off my student loans, and I didn't take out an enormous amount. So I want to allow for a little bit of emotional savvy here for us as parents to navigate what is a very intense and a very emotional decision for these kids.
It is, Ken, and I always kind of liken it to, I don't know if you've ever seen the Bee movie. It's one I've watched with my kids years ago, but it's like they have this decision that they have to pick this one job to do for the rest of their life. And it's like, you know, there's only, and it kind of feels like that for them. And the issue that I think a lot of parents are having is because of the decision they made years ago of, well, I'm going to be this for the rest of my life. Now they're in a position where they're stuck in a job that they absolutely hate, but they picked it. So now they're in it. And so now they have a family, so they can't really pivot. So now they feel trapped. They feel overwhelmed. They're working overdrive, and they're working in a job that they really hate it, but they can't really make that move to do something that they love because they're afraid of they're the breadwinner, or their family is dependent on them. So now they feel like they're never going to get a chance to pursue their dreams. What kind of advice you have for that parent out there?
Yeah. So, hey, put yourself back in your own shoes there and go, wait a second. Because of all of that, and you laid it out so beautifully, I made these decisions. So what can I learn from my own journey? And let me take a deep breath here and realize my kid's still figuring it out. And so let me set myself up to be the best guide for my kid. And the best guide is one who speaks from experience. And I think grabbing that experience and, okay, this is what made me make this decision, which got me here. So how can I help my kid not make that decision? And we kind of reverse engineer it would be the advice there. And then just relax, parents. You know what the journey's like. And if I were going to lock in on anything, be intense with reminding yourself and your kid of who they really are. The clues about who they will be in the future, I believe, are largely evident in the 18 years that you've had them. And so if we just have some fun conversations that aren't so pressure filled, it's just like, hey, you know, I've always noticed you've been interested in this, and you've always been good at this. And have you ever thought about this? And set them up with people that are friends of yours, that are adults, that are winning in the area of work, that may have some clues and interest to what they have, and let the kid just feel this lack of pressure from you and feel this, man, that's awesome. My mom and dad are pointing out all the things I've been good at my whole life. They're pointing out all the things that I've always enjoyed. And they're just making it about me and how unique I am. And I think those conversations would yield way more ideas. And I'm absolutely positive there are clues in their childhood to what they were born to do in adulthood.
There is this issue, though, too, Ken, as far as like the Gen Zers are going. I have, you know, two of them myself, and it's a lot of the people that they go to school with, a lot of people surrounding them, they all want to be YouTubers. They want to be TikTokers. Sure. They want to be content creators. And it seems like it's hard to kind of, you see people having success with this. So it's something that you don't want to knock those dreams, but you also want to try to kind of parallel that with a little bit of positive, like, hey, that sounds good, but let's have some kind of backup plan in case the YouTube channel doesn't explode and you're not out there like Mr. Beast giving away millions of dollars. So, you don't want to crush those dreams. You want to kind of, and it's different because we don't come from that generation that grew up with the phone, with the content constantly 24 hours a day. So it's a different passion, but want to try to be able to support it, but also try to, you know, counter that with a little bit of, hey, let's get out there and get the job.
Yeah. I think you're bringing up a very good point. Here's what I would say. Two things. Number one, being a YouTuber or a social media influencer is now the equivalent for this generation of what a lawyer or doctor was for our generation. It is a viable professional path, and we parents got to realize that. So the game has changed. They think, and they see it, and they see these kids. They see these kids and how much following they have. Listen, I'm a two-time number one best-selling author. I'm on national media all the time, all the things. And my kids look at my numbers and they laugh at my social media following because they're following people that have millions and millions of minutes. So understand this. It is a legitimate professional path to your kids, but it's not to you all. So what I would say is I have a slight change in the advice. I would not try to talk them out of it. I would not say come up with a backup plan, because here's what your kid hears. Your kid hears, you don't believe in me. You don't think that I can make it. You think that what I'm doing is irresponsible, and it will absolutely crush your kid, even though you don't think you're crushing them. So my response would be, if my kid comes to me and says, I want to be a YouTuber, moms and dads, here's what I would do. I'd say, all right, great. Mom and I want to help. What equipment do you need? Bring me a list of the equipment you need to just basic, just get not world-class. Give me a basic list of equipment you need to launch your YouTube channel, and we'll take a look at it. I want you to have some skin in the game, so I want you to buy some stuff. Well, we'll look at the list, and mom and I will buy some of the stuff, and you got to go do it. Now, here's what they heard. You don't think I'm crazy. You actually believe that I got a shot at making this. Now, here's, you may know, parent, deep down in your heart, that they're not wired to do that and that it's a long shot. But your kid didn't hear that. Let your kid figure out that it's a long shot. Let your kid figure out, for a small amount of money and a small amount of time in the earliest season of their life, I'd let them go do it. And if they lose interest in that, they've never heard, you didn't believe in me. But for the kid who's actually good at it, the kid who could make it and shock you, mom and dad, I would support it that way.
And the good thing about it too, Ken, is the industry of content creation has made so many other more jobs available. Like, not just the person on the screen doing the content, but behind that, there's so many job opportunities now that have come from it. And that could be your way into the door to future content creation as well.
100%. Man, the movie industry and television industry is changing as you and I speak right now. And you make a very good point. What could turn out to be maybe not big, that big of a YouTube channel, turns out that they get noticed by somebody and they get a really great job and they're on a movie set without ever having to darken the door of film school. I think you make a very good point there. Here's my point. Let them try it. Let them try it. Listen, every serious person in the world knows that failure is the greatest teacher. So big freaking deal. Buy a $400 camera for them. Get them a $100 mic. Come on. Or make them pay for it, but go, yeah, go do it. Watch their videos and go, hey, love the effort here. Teach me about this. Even if you think the video sucks, ask them a different question. How did you shoot that? Tell me about that. They need that safety, the emotional safety that mom and dad, they think that I'm credible enough that I should try stuff. And if we teach them to try, it may be the greatest lesson we ever teach them.
I do think, too, like, trying to be as honest as possible can help, too, and not tickle their ass with a feather for too long.
100%.
You're giving them false advice of like, hey, this is you. You're nailing it, even though you really think that this is
that's
a horrible
the key.
Idea.
Yeah. Now, that's the key. And let me be clear. If I haven't been clear, I don't want you to be an American Idol parent where you told your kid their whole life that they can sing, and then they get up in front of Simon Cowell and make a fool of themselves. And when they get told true advice, they flip out and flip the camera off and melt down. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, and what I said was, remember, hey, if you don't think the video is good, don't tell them the video is not good. Just say, all right, tell me more about what you're doing there. What's your technique? They need that. They just need us to back off. This generation of parents were too busy trying to fix everything and make everything better. If they show you a sucky video, don't tell them it's great, but don't tell them it sucks either. Right?
Yeah. I agree.
By the way, the first radio show I ever did, I'd hate for you to hear it.
Yeah.
I would hate it compared to what I do now. So that's what I'm pointing out. I think you make a very good point. I don't believe in this lying to our kids to make them feel good.
Yeah, I think we do more damage than good, but I do agree that language is so important. Language is the way that you word things, man. It really makes a difference, especially to them in these teenage years. And obviously now you got the teenagers in the house like I do. Well, one of the things that I do definitely differently with my daughter than I do with my sons is my discipline style. It's definitely different. So what type of disciplinarian are you as a dad? And is that different than the discipline style you grew up with?
Very different. And that's because I'm trying not to be my dad. Love my dad, but do it very differently. And my parenting style, I attempt to do something that Coach K, legendary coach for Duke for all those years, five-time national champion, I had the privilege of interviewing him 20 years ago. And I asked him what I thought was a leadership question, but his answer, and I'm going to be with him next month, and I can't wait to tell him the story, but his answer shaped the way that I parent. And what he said was, he was talking about two different point guards, and he was like, I treated those two point guards very differently. I led them differently. One was a very instinctive player, you know, and I'd draw a play for him in a timeout. He'd come down the floor and he'd see a totally different play and he'd run it, not out of rebellion, but he just saw a different play. And I knew that kid was an instinctive leader and I had to give him freedom to do that, because most of the time when he changed the play, he was right. But he said, I had another point guard that needed me to draw the play up and he would run the play exactly the way I drew it up. And so I coached those guys differently. That's the setup for what I have attempted to do. And I've not always been great at this, but I have attempted to parent each of the three kids differently. Now, that does not mean that they have a different set of rules. We've got our house rules, right? And this is kind of what we believe, why we believe, and how we expect you to act. However, how I discipline each of the three kids is differently, because each of those three kids is very different and they need a different style of discipline and correction and guidance than their siblings. And so I think you have to be consistent on principle, but you have to be customized in how you parent each of those three kids within those principles. And again, this is a leadership lesson I'm going to drop in here too. One of the real challenges I see with leadership, certainly in big corporations, is, and we see it in customer service sometimes, the way we get treated. You go, somebody came up with a policy off of a principle, and they're incapable of acting outside of the policy because it's all about the policy and it's not about the person. And so the Nordstroms of the world, the great customer service, they have principles, yes, but they always choose people over policy. And so in parenting, I think it's the same thing. I think parents, there are times where it's policy all the way. But I think that it still has to have a filter of the person that I'm applying the policy to. And so I've tried to treat the three kids very differently because that's what's required. What works for this kid is going to completely shut this kid down. And so that's what I've tried to do.
Yeah, well said, Ken. And also, too, it kind of adapts, too, because the same style that worked when the kid was 13 ain't working when he's 16 or 17. So it's always...
I struggled with that.
Yeah, constantly learning and changing as we go, too, as the parent.
Yeah, I want to own this because I don't want to be the guy that gives advice and doesn't also own his crap. I've struggled with that big time. I have, because I've never done it before. I hope I do it better with our middle son, but poor Ty, our oldest, who's such a bright kid. He's got such an unbelievable spirit, an unquenchable spirit about him. As he's become a young man, I mean, he's 18, he's a man. I have struggled to adjust my parenting to the fact that he's not 13 anymore. He's not even 15. And I think that's a very good point. And learning to let go has been really eye-opening, because, you know, it's, you have to parent differently at that age. And it's been, you know, very eye-opening, and I hope I do much better for the other two as a result of learning. This is a whole different human being right now than what we had 3 years ago.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, and that's why I'm blessed to get the advice and listen to the different styles of all these different dads that are going through the same thing, but we're all having this different journey, but we're all kind of in the same boat here, you know, so it's really been a blessing to me. And I know you got the new book dropping, Find the Work, your Wyatt to Do. What can we expect in the book? When's it dropping?
Yeah, I want every dad to consider picking this book up, first and foremost for yourself and then for your kids. Here's what the book is. The book comes with an assessment called the Get Clear Career Assessment. Let me tell you what it is not. It is not a personality assessment. You don't need another one of those. Great personality profiles, Myers-Briggs, DISC, there's a million of those, Enneagram, those are great. But this is a very unique assessment in that it measures the three wires that everybody has. The first wire is talent, right? So everybody comes in this world hardwired with talent. And then as we grow up in an environment that shapes us. And then we have experiences along the way that shape us. And those inform those other two wires. The second wire is passion. And that just means, what work do I love to do? When I'm engaged in this type of work, a role or a task, I'm just completely locked in. Time seems to disappear. And the third wire is mission, meaning every human being is motivated by a result. They call it intrinsic motivation, right? Could be health, could be relationship, could be money, security, whatever. And so when we look at talent, I'm supposed to use what I do best to do what I love to produce results that matter to me. This assessment and book will reveal that deep dive report on all three areas, and it puts a purpose statement together that is based on your top results, top three talents, top three passions, and primary motivational driver. And the book itself picks you up after you get your results, grabs you by the hand, and it helps you with direction. So the first part I just described is awareness, self-awareness. Who am I? Why am I that way? Where do I want to go professionally? And how do I get there? And so the book and the assessment come together to answer those four questions. Who am I? Why am I that way? Where do I want to go professionally? And then how do I get there? And so the combination of the assessment and the book, I become your guide. After you get self-awareness, now we're going to pick professional direction. And this is a wonderful conversational starter for guys, maybe friends that are struggling. Maybe some of you guys are going, hey, I'm ready for a pivot. Or I've never, back to something you asked me earlier, I've never really chosen the path that I believe I'm supposed to walk. That's what this tool does. It's an enlightenment tool and an encouragement tool.
Yeah, talent, passion, purpose. I love it. Can find the work you're wired to do. I got the link to the book down there in the description below. So my listeners can get down there and check it out. Last thing I want to hit you with here, I love to ask all the dads that I get on the podcast, what type of advice do you have for that brand new dad or that about to be father who's out there listening?
Yeah, that you're good enough. You're good enough. And you're going to hurt your kids. You are. You're going to fail your kids. You're going to disappoint your kids, but you're going to love your kids in the midst of all of those things, and you're enough. And on the worst day, when you feel like you're not a good dad, you're good enough. And, you got to trust that, because you just showing up on your worst day, you're showing up. You tell your kids, swallow your pride in the days that you disappoint or hurt or whatever. Talk to your kids. When you hurt them and you fail them, tell them that you hurt them. Tell them that you failed them. Don't make an excuse. Be a man. Be a father. And step in and realize that despite all of those things that you will do wrong, the thing that you will do most right is showing up and never leaving them. Don't leave their mom. Fight like hell to never get divorced. If you get divorced, I get it. Doesn't mean that you're done either, but I'm telling you, fight to keep showing up. One of the greatest societal fixes that we could offer is dads to be there all 18 years, every day, to the best of your ability, to be present. And that would be my advice. You're good enough, and all you need to do is keep showing up.
Yeah, well said. I love the message, Ken. It's been a lot of fun for me. Again, find the work you're wired to do. Link is in the description down below. Ken Coleman, you're a first-class father all the way. Thank you so much for giving me a few minutes of your time today on First Class Fatherhood.
Thank you.
Alec Lace has interviewed more than 700 dads on his award-winning podcast, First Class Fatherhood. Dads from all walks of life, including Tom Brady, Deion Sanders, Matthew McConaughey, Steve Harvey, Tony Hawk, Eric Trump, and so many more. Find out why First Class Fatherhood has been number one on the iTunes charts. Who these men are as fathers and how they raise their children is far more important than anything they accomplish in their careers. Alec Lace encourages his high-profile guests to share their fatherhood journeys and offer advice to new and soon-to-be dads. Let every father in your contact list know about First Class Fatherhood. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Every day is Father's Day on First Class Fatherhood.